Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Eric Messersmith here with former Blues enforcer Cam Jansen, former Mizzou receiver T.J. Moe. We're in the Vincent Mortgage Mobile Studios at Randall's Wine and Spirits, 1910 South Jefferson, right off of 44. Great place to come and get your booze for the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Also, Tito's Handmade Vodka is having a tasting event and giveaway going on until 5 today. And, Cam, Stray Rescue Animal Adoption is here. We're already seeing some dogs around.
Oh, my God.
They're
going
to be here from 2 to 5. So you can get you can get Tito's vodka and a puppy to go.
I gotta take them all home.
No, they're so cute over there. Oh my God.
You are a big softy when it comes to this.
I am a big softy when it comes to animals. I have too many of them probably right now, and they run my show as it is, so I can't take any more home. Randall's Wine and Spirits and Tito's Handmade Vodka are teaming up with Stray Rescue of St. Louis with adoption events this holiday season at their Jefferson location. Stray Rescue adoption event today will go from 2 to 5, and Tito's tasting will go from 1 to 5. If you haven't had Tito's vodka before, it's phenomenal. Trust me on that. Ask TJ. He'll tell you. Stray Rescue Adoption event. already read that. Saturday, December 9th and 16th from 1 to 4, there will be a Tito's tasting with prizes as well as lovable dogs looking for their forever home. TJ, you need to get one.
Cam, what happens is once you finish a line, you just go down to the next one.
Okay, when you purchase any bottle of Tito's this holiday season, Randall's will donate $1 to Stray Rescue. Additional Tito's Handmade Vodka tastings will be held Saturday, November 25th, December 2nd, and December 23rd. Log on to shoprandalls.com for more Tito's events.
The text line, the Bud Light text line, is 855-282-8255, 855-282-TALK. Matt Rocchio is with us monitoring the text line.
In America,
today.
We read from left to right. Cam, we got two for you here, Cam.
I knew he was going to say that. What's up, baby?
One of those, Hockey Bob texts in and says, if you compare the 2012-14 Kings to this year's Blues team, both in size and talent, except for maybe the goalie, the Blues are better.
Than the Kings in 2014.
That three-year stretch.
Well, that one where they won,
two cups, right?
When they beat us in 2012, they were really.
They were
really
an 8 seed back then, weren't they? In 2012?
Yes.
This one doesn't necessarily have to do with hockey, but Peter Fitzinterwell texts in and says, hey, Cam, where are you heading after Guns N' Hoses? Meet me in the Grove in the alley behind Attitudes, 12 a.m. sharp.
I'll be there,
bro. You got to read the name like it. You can't just say Fitz in her well. You got to say Fitz in her well.
Okay. I said it like that. I said Peter Fitz in her well.
Good. We'll see if it fits
Grimy,
in tonight.
He's like,
and
Peter
then,
fits in her hey, well.
And then Grimy from South County texted in, I've had Tito's. It's pretty tasty.
Hey,
well, thank you.
And then he probably found
slump
a slump buster.
Yep.
Hey, Rock, just be careful when you read the text from my Dixie wrecked. Make sure you.
Three words.
My
Dixie like
Dixie
the cup.
Wrecked.
But it is, though.
The hard line. Wow, it's a little cold, though, by the door here.
I know, it's
so
weird. It's not an anomaly
so
for me.
Somebody could have warned me to wear a coat. It's like 18 degrees right by the door here.
Hey, guys, we're talking a little college football. We're going to make our picks here in a little while. But I wanted to play this audio. This is Mike Leach, the coach of Washington State.
Well, did you know what the question he was asked? The guy said, hey, I'm getting married in 9 days. Any advice? This is a reporter. And this is what Mike Leach had to say.
The women lose their mind. Your fiancée's going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which, of course, my answer was, I don't care. And then, what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care. Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is, of course, true. What do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth, and they're going to play keep away from you until after you're married. There's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay, so you need to work late, go in the back room and read a lot of books, take the groomsmen out so you make sure that they march in just right and they know exactly, you know, these swell outfits that you picked out or whatever, however you're doing it. And in the end, you'll wish you eloped. You need to find excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can.
I am giving you right now, Washington plays Washington State. I am picking Washington State strictly because of that speech.
Oh, yeah. He's a national treasure, Mike Leach, because he does stuff like this a lot, and he's kind of flies under the radar because he's Washington State, and they haven't been very good. Well, until this year, they're really good. I hope he gets a high-profile job.
He did this
job.
Like crazy at Texas Tech.
He did. I hope he gets a high-profile job.
I'm telling you, he's a dark horse for Arkansas. I would not at all be surprised. I have heard from multiple people that he has let it be known through the back channels that he wants back in the SEC. And we'll
everybody should look at him. A&M should look at him if they end up moving on from someone. I mean, I would look at him.
Yeah, A&M's a bigger job, I think.
It is.
Yeah,
for sure.
I might.
He had success in state of Texas before.
He did, but it never was a big recruiter, and that's a problem in Texas. Now, why are you going to recruit so much bigger Texas A&M? I think you could, and they have a lot more money behind it.
Yeah, they do.
But Arkansas seems a little more his style.
It does.
You know what I mean?
And in the SEC, he'd probably get more play than he does now. We're going to make our college football picks later in the show. You don't do that like 2:30.
Yeah, so we got. I put seven games out there. We don't like to do that many normally, but there was
we'll
a bunch
see if
of ranked
we get
games.
To them.
Yeah, if we get to them, we will. If not, we'll do four or five, whatever it is. We'll pick.
We'll do them next hour then.
Yeah.
All right,
Sugar Bear, hook me up.
Hadley's going to call in about 2:30.
Oh my God.
Oh man. God.
We're going to have Terry Yake, by the way, talk a little Blues coming up right after the top of the hour. I'll tell you what. We'll save our picks for later because there's a lot of, as TJ mentioned, last week was dog poop. Saturday. This week is kind of fitting with our rescue adoption event here. Mm. This week's pretty good, though. I mean, you got a bunch of great games. But the thing, TJ, that I'm interested in is how these games impact and how they could totally shake things up. So here are your college football playoff rankings. Not much change. Alabama's still number one. Miami and Clemson flip spots. So Miami's 2, Clemson 3.
Which matters nothing at all.
No, they play each other in a week and a half.
That 2, by the way, compared to last week, that's the only thing that changed in the top 10.
Right. Oklahoma's 4. Wisconsin undefeated still. They're number 5. Auburn still has a chance with 2 losses at number 6. Georgia's number 7. That's where your likely chance to get in the playoff ends. The teams behind there, outside chances for Notre Dame at number 8. Ohio State in particular at number 9. Penn State's number 10, USC's 11.
So let me throw out something that maybe puts Washington State in the conversation. They've got 2 losses.
That would take
a
complete train wreck.
It would.
I like train wrecks.
They've got 2 losses, right?
Yes. They are ranked 13th, Washington State. They're 9-2.
They win against Washington. That right now it would be a –
Washington is number 17, so that would be a nice win.
And then they would have to beat
– Would that put them against USC in the Pac-12 championship?
So you're automatically going to jump 11 there. TCU, I believe, is going to be in the Big 12 championship.
They are.
TCU loses. There you go.
If TCU wins this week, they will be in the Big 12 championship.
So, right, TCU could lose this week or next week. Either way, they could jump them if they want out. Penn State is already out, so they're not going to have a chance at 10 to do anything. Ohio State could – Wisconsin could lose this weekend, we'll say, just out of whatever.
They play Minnesota. I doubt it.
Yeah, not happening.
No. I just think you like Mike Leach, and so you're reaching for a way that he
gets
into the college.
I think Notre Dame's
playoff.
Out with their 2 losses.
Yes, Notre Dame has almost no chance.
Georgia could lose. Who are they playing this weekend?
Georgia plays. They play Georgia Tech. It's the rivalry.
They could lose that one.
Here's what I'm interested in. So, what if? Because look, the easiest scenario is Alabama wins the SEC. Wisconsin is undefeated, wins the Big Ten. Oklahoma wins the Big 12. And then either Miami or Clemson.
Yeah.
That's the cut and dry. That's no drama.
But
easy. Those are the 4 teams.
Okay.
No questions
Except
asked.
3 of those 4 are going to be favored to happen. Wisconsin not.
True.
Wisconsin will be an underdog in the Big Ten championship.
Here's where things get interesting, though. What if Alabama loses to Auburn? And so then Auburn goes on to win the SEC. How do you not put Auburn in as a 2-loss SEC champion, especially if they beat Georgia in the title game? Oklahoma wins the Big 12. The Miami and Clemson play a great game that Clemson wins late. So they're in as the ACC champ, but now Miami has 1 loss and it's close to Clemson. And by the way, Miami, according to some metrics, has the best strength of schedule in the country. And then Wisconsin wins the Big Ten. So then you would have, under that scenario, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Clemson, Auburn, and then a one-loss Miami who lost narrowly to Clemson, and a one-loss Alabama who lost potentially narrowly to Auburn. That's six teams for four spots. Who do you put in out of those six if that happens?
Miami.
You put Miami in over who?
Alabama.
Yeah, but that's still – and then who else? Because there's six teams then. So if Alabama's one of the out,
who's who is the other team?
I got Auburn.
Auburn won the big
– Auburn wins the SEC. Auburn, Oklahoma.
Auburn winning the SEC is in over there. Miami.
I agree. Oklahoma's probably in if they win the Big 12. Clemson would be in because they would have beaten Miami.
Right.
Oklahoma, or I'm sorry, Wisconsin wins the Big 10. There's four. So then Miami with one loss would be out, a narrow loss to Clemson, and Alabama, who's right now number one, would be out in that scenario with one loss.
That's interesting because there is a solid argument for Miami there, a real one.
I believe they had the number one in one of the scheduling metrics, they were number one.
Yeah, I'd like to see where they are overall.
There's a
because Alabama's definitely out there, and although their schedule, they're going to finish here with Auburn, their schedule is going to get better, but last I looked at it, it was like 39th.
Really? Yeah. I root for chaos, so I kind of hope that happens.
Optimally, Eric, seriously, if we're looking at, and this is over the next 2 weeks, because you have the rivalry week this week, and then you have the championship games next week, you have Alabama loses this week, that would be optimal because I'd rather see them lose this week and then you really make everybody think as opposed to next week against Georgia. They think a little bit less because a one loss in the SEC title game may still get you in because Auburn would then be bumped out. So they're not in the six. So that is less of a conversation. I want to see Auburn win and then Auburn beats Georgia because then it's a two-loss Georgia who doesn't have a chance.
Georgia's out, yeah.
Georgia's absolutely
but,
out.
But Alabama would still be in. It would be a Penn State-Ohio State situation.
Similarly, but there could be other things that happen. Maybe not, though, right? Because if – you could have Miami, but Clemson needs to win out for the most chaos, I think, because then you'd still have a one-loss Miami. Clemson wins out, Oklahoma wins out, and Wisconsin wins out. And then it's Miami, Alabama, Auburn that you talked about. I mean,
I think they would defer to the conference champions, and I think you'd be left with some really good one-loss
teams. And more
chaos
is Ohio State winning.
Yes. To me, Ohio State should only get – like, Ohio State should not get in. Because what if you have Ohio State with a two losses, two awful like losses where they got crushed? Would they get in ahead of a one-loss Miami who lost narrowly
or a
Clemson,
one-loss Alabama?
Or a one-loss Alabama. All I think people would have a big problem with that if Ohio State gets in with two losses, with non-competitive losses. Remember, they got crushed by Oklahoma and then by freaking Iowa.
If Oklahoma loses, though, they're out and there's no Big 12.
True.
If Oklahoma loses, who
They're
not playing Oklahoma State. They're playing
Kansas
State, maybe.
Let me check. I forget now. They play West Virginia.
Okay. Our computers are not working, so half of our brains are.
They are 22-point favorite at home against West Virginia.
All right. So they're going to win, but they very well could lose a TCU. And then they're both bumped because TCU is back at 12. They're not climbing to 4. So then the Big 12's out. Ohio State beats Wisconsin, and one-loss Wisconsin with that schedule, they're absolutely out, and there's no talk about it at all. Auburn has to win out or they have no discussion. And they're at six. And the only reason they're at six in front of Georgia, yeah, they whatever, but the everybody knows in Georgia, if they win out, they're in. If you had Auburn right now at 10, then there's no chance of them making the playoff. The playoff committee put them at six strategically to say, well, yeah, look.
Well, they deserve.
There's an opening.
I mean, that win against Georgia was one of the most impressive wins anybody's had this year when you consider opponent and how they just manhandled. I mean, that was just complete domination. They deserve to be there, and they deserve to get in as a two-loss team if they beat Bama. Then
I'm not sure there'd be a huge – if they were back at 7, there wouldn't be a huge issue, I don't think. If they were back at 8, they're maybe not behind Notre Dame. I don't know if they're – I'm saying we'd look at it and say, maybe I tinker with it, but I'm saying I think the committee is telling you if they went out, they're in.
They're in. Yeah, that's probably true. And look, this will sort itself out over the next few weeks, but it is interesting because it has the potential to be – maybe the most controversial one we've had.
I'm a huge Auburn fan this weekend. Huge.
Yeah, we're going to make that pick later. They're getting about, what, 4?
4.5.
At home.
4.5.
Alabama's banged up in their front 7 still. I don't know, man. We'll make our picks
later. You think Alabama's going to lose, you're saying?
I hope they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Because that's the most chaos. That's the whole thing. Like, do I really want to see Alabama win every single year?
No, I don't.
Not interested.
Not at all.
But I do like them being at the top every year and having somebody that you knock off. So at the very end, if you – because think about this. Alabama, since I was in school, they won 3 out of the 4 national titles in school. Then they lost it to Ohio State in 2014. Then they won it in 2015. Then they lost it to Clemson in 2016. They're in the title game virtually every year. The only game they haven't been in it recently was 2013 when Auburn beat them in the Iron Bowl on that kick six. Outside of that, they were in it. Eric, that was the championship game they lost to Ohio State, right?
Which year?
2014.
They lost in the semifinals, I think, didn't they? Was that the first year of the playoff?
Yes.
I think the first year of the playoff they lost in the semifinals to Ohio State.
Who did Ohio State beat in the title game?
You're
right. You're 100% right because Ohio State barely snuck in as the 4 seed and they would have had to play them in the first.
Yeah, and then Ohio State went on to win the title.
It was Oregon, I think.
I think you're right. Turning to the NFL, did you guys see this story that the Sports Illustrated NFL owners pushing for teams to stay in the locker room for the national anthem next year? I think that if the players are still kneeling at the end of the year, then it could very well happen, an unnamed source told the Post. Donald Trump has tweeted out that this is almost as bad as kneeling. To me, I disagree. I think from an optics perspective, this is infinitely better than the players kneeling. If they're not even there, there's really no protest. Like, if they're not on the field and they're not doing anything, there's no protest. And so, to me, yes, will there still be a small section of people? I'd be like, oh, I don't like that they're in the locker room. Sure. Because there's a small section of people who'd be pissed about anything. But I think this disappears.
But in college, you don't do that. You do that too, right?
You stay in locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, though, this disappears as a national story if the owners do this. I think this eliminates it as a national story next year.
I think you're right. I still think you go the NBA route. And say, hey, fellas, listen up. This is my league, not yours. And when you own the team, you can make your own rules. Or when you own the league, you can make your own rules. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It is a mandate. You're going to stay, and you're going to stand up for the national anthem because that's what we do here, and you play by my rules. This is part of work. When you're here, I'm paying you a whole lot of money to be here. It's not your constitutional right to be employed and have millions of dollars and break my rules and not be fined. So you can be fined, and I'm going to make a fine of $100,000 every time you decide to kneel for the national anthem.
Boom,
and
baby.
That's fine.
What you're saying, the owners would have the legal right to do. There'd probably be a lawsuit, but I think they'd win in court at the end because they are in a private
place. The NFL's not afraid to go to court.
Right. But you may be right on principle, but I'm talking about what's the smartest thing for the league to do, and the smartest thing for the league to do is exactly this. Because if they did what you did, it would probably be a lengthy court battle. It would be in the headlines constantly. You'd piss off a segment of the population that agrees with the players, the Kaepernick supporters. So it would be bad PR. This is perfect because now nobody can really be that upset.
I disagree.
Because there is no
both purpose. Sides are pissed at you if you go to the locker room because you now no longer have the platform to make your statement. So that side pissed at you. And the people who want you to stand are pissed at you. At least if you pick a side, you only half the people are pissed at you. Everybody's mad if you take it away.
I think you can split the middle here. I really do because I think while people might be initially upset on either end, it disappears because it's out of your view.
Do you know how much
we're not
money
thinking about it or
the
talking
military
about it.
Pays the NFL? I've looked. We don't have internet right now, so I can't look it up and tell you exactly. A crap ton of money. The military pays the NFL to go out there and have these players and put this on for the military. Why? Because they're encouraging.
You're talking about their Veterans Appreciation Days and
everything
stuff like
they
that.
Do. I mean, they have all kinds of stuff. Now, the NFL kind of got caught with some sort of something, and they gave it back, whatever. But bottom line is that the military was giving the NFL a ton of money to do these tributes to the soldiers and all these different things. Things you should just do anyway because people love it.
Mm-hmm.
I
love it.
It 4 years.
$5.4 million across 2011 to 2014.
There you go.
So there you go. $5.4 million.
And the NFL ended up returning $723,000 to taxpayers. Once TJ's referring to them getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar a little bit there, yeah. They returned that, which, again, I thought was odd because it was the military paying for advertising, which seems to be a fairly consistent thing the military does when they're trying to recruit people. That's what all the ads on television are. So it was kind of odd to me that people were like, how dare you pay for that? It's like, That's what advertising
now,
is, people.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that how dare you pay for that. It's just that that the way we do it, it was sort of hidden.
Right.
One,
people thought that right. was be the NFL being generous.
And by the way, it's not even just generous. It's just something we all kind of stand behind. Like it's not a controversial thing to say support the troops. You know what I mean? So to go out there, and especially all the cool things that we do, we've seen for years that you'll have a mother and her kids just standing on the field, and it's like, hey, we got your tickets. You're just going to come out. And then the husband who's overseas comes out. Like, those are the best moments.
God,
and everybody loves it. So to me, if you're paying that much money, $5.4 million, which I don't know if they're still paying them, Rock. I don't know the answer to that, if you can find that. But with all of that, and you can't have your players, of which you're paying the lowest guy in the totem pole out there on an NFL sideline wearing a jersey is making north of $450,000.
Yeah.
I think you're $465,000 or $480,000. Yeah. It goes up $15,000 every year. So you're right. You're near $500,000. You're getting paid $500,000 this year for 16 times. We want you to stand up for the national anthem and play the game. Do your job. Shut up. Go protest somewhere else.
I don't necessarily disagree with you on principle, but I think the smart play is to do exactly what these owners are going to do. I think that eliminates an issue and doesn't really piss off either side to the point where they won't watch it.
And they can logically sit back on the point that this is what we were doing before we made an agreement with the military to do these special.
You can go. You can justify it by saying this is what we did before. This isn't new. We did this years ago. We're just going back to
flimsy.
That policy.
No, hold on. TD will correctly point out, I believe, that that's flimsy because it's clear that you're making the decision because of what happened.
But you have cover.
They have the logical cover of this is what we this is what we did for 30 years beforehand. This is what we're going back to.
But you didn't do that. Well, at the very least, I mean, it started in like 1914. That you had people coming out, and they played it the one time in baseball. It started in Major League Baseball and the way they went about it. So this started a long time ago. It was never a controversial thing until Colin Kaepernick took a knee that you would stand up for the national anthem and applaud the soldiers. This isn't even remotely controversial. But all of a sudden now it's controversial because we're fighting for something that has nothing to do with the military. So why don't you just get up and support the military and then handle your business later? This
good
isn't
question.
Hard.
Let's get Kaepernick on. We want to talk about it. Hopefully we can do that after Thanksgiving. Hey, it is the Hardline, 590 Fan. We're at Randall's Wine and Spirits. One thing you can buy here, Cam, is a product we call Bud Light. It is the official beer of the Hardline.
Oh, well, and the St. Louis Blues.
They
too,
love the
baby.
Blues.
No, and the Blues love Bud Light. I'll tell you that right now. Hey, Blues fans, whether you're heading into Scott Trade or yelling at a TV with your friends, Bud Light has you covered. Because win or lose, game day is more about the game. It's about having a great time with
Cam
the people.
Cam just lost
God,
all of his
life. God, help me with this. So before the next phase, I'll be sure to pick up the beer you can count on with the friends you can count on, like Vladimir Tarasenko. Bud Light, it's brewed for hockey, and it's brewed for St. Louis Blues fans. Bud Light, famous among friends and the official beer sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Please drink responsibly.
Hey, right. Budweiser is celebrating the repeal of Prohibition.
Why?
Sad day for TJ with a limited edition 1933.
Well, I wasn't around for that.
No, you weren't.
You weren't alive for the
21st Amendment. We've had quite a few since then.
The 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager, a celebration of our freedom to brew a rich amber lager. The vintage look is inspired by the 1930s style of beer. You can find the 1933 Repeal Reserve in stores now. And pick it up fast. It sells out fast. 590 The Fan is hosting a repeal of Prohibition party at Filoni's. That's on December 5th, the date of Prohibition repeal. It's an all-day remote. Come celebrate with us. There will be AB Brewmasters, brand ambassadors, and special giveaways at this Prohibition party. That's December 5th.
All right.
At Filoni's. Yep. It is the Hardline here on 590 The Fan. Cam, I wanted you to talk about Mantality.
I want you to, too.
Tell me what they did for us.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, unbelievable right now. No, I feel good.
It doesn't sound like it's working.
Wait a minute. I'm, like, unbelievable. I'm a man now. No, I am a man again.
All right.
Big time, TJ. Big time. Yeah. No, I do feel good. I feel good. I don't feel like a 95-year-old woman anymore, and that's not that there's anything wrong with that. But
no,
I just didn't feel like
Tarasenko would
one.
Still drop you, bro.
I know he would.
He's better fighter than I thought.
He's a lot tougher than I am, and a better player. Good God, he does everything well.
Definitely has a better
the
wrist
bottom
shot.
Line is, I feel great, and it's because of Mantality. I swear to you, it's such an easy thing to do. You walk right in there. They got board certified physicians. You walk right in. There's like a beer fridge. You grab a beer. They take your information down. You give them blood. They'll give you results that same day. You might not need it. You might need a re-up. You might need to get leveled out. They just keep a track of your – keep an eye on your body, which is just a good thing to do because the last thing you want to do is go to a doctor's appointment. Check this out, lowtusa.com, Chesterfield, South County. This is an absolute game changer. I am telling you this. I've been on it for like 8 months now, and I am an absolute animal again. I'm getting things done all day long. Yesterday was an unbelievably long day for me. Today's another long one, but I feel good throughout the day. Check it out, lowtusa.com, an absolute game changer. All Eric, right. I suggest you do it.
Eric,
seriously.
Let's be honest. You've never had a long day or long
or long anything.
Right. No, God, no, no. I like to be in bed at 8 o'clock. Yes. And
you like short ones.
You like short. Wow. Shriveled.
Sleep for about 12 hours if I can. I do also, before we go to break, another great event, Cam Arnold. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, it's kind of like a holiday party, man. And we're just going to go there. I'm going to bring a bunch of my buddies and Kate. And we're going to cruise up to Hot Shots in Webster Groves. And they're going to play The Grinch Stole Christmas, and we're going to have a big party there, man. So,
boogity.
Cam Jansen here, and I love sports, and I especially love the Blues. But the truth be told, I like the holidays a lot too, TJ. So on Thursday, November 30th, there is no Blues game, and it's time to get out into the holiday spirit at Hot Shots Bar and Grill in Webster, 1239 South Laquid Station Road, right near the corner of Watson. At 7 p.m., I will be hosting a little holiday party where we will be watching The Grinch That Stole Christmas with a few twists. I can't promote drinking every time the Grinch says a certain word, and I can't promote people doing shots during parts of the movie either.
No, you would never do that.
But if it did happen, I can't stop you. Hot Shots will have food specials like the old Vienna Red Hot Riblet Burger. That sounds unbelievable, by the way. So come out with your friends and possibly a designated driver. Get into the holiday spirit with me, Cam Jansen, at Hot Shots in Webster Groves. I'll be there. It'll be amazing. Who will make it to the end of the movie? I don't know.
We can only promote alcohol when we're doing the Code of Go Reads and the Elmore Dew Reads.
And the Bud Light. And the Bud Light Reads. And Jesus Christ.
And the fact that we're here today at Randall's.
Definitely not here.
Randall's Wine and Spirits. Yes. Come see us. 1910 South Jefferson. Tito's Vodka Tasting Event is underway. Terry Yake's going to join us. Talk a little Blues coming up. It's the Hardline. 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.